105.7 The Fan and the Baltimore Orioles present the Hot Stove Show.
Play ball!
This is the Hot Stove Show on Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan. Now, live from Orioles Spring Training in Florida, here's Jim Hunter on the flagship station of the Baltimore Orioles, 105.7 The Fan.
And good evening, everybody, and welcome in. We are at the palatial Tim Jones Estate in Sarasota, Florida, because for the second time in the past couple of weeks, Rock, the Orioles had a day off, and the compound is locked. They will not let us in to do the show, so Tim, nice enough to set us up here in what is a lovely place that he's rented for spring training.
I needed the valet to help me park. The guy never came out. I had to park myself.
All right, 1 week to go. Next Thursday is the final game here. That game will be on Masson, by the way, if you're planning ahead. And I thought it would be appropriate for this show. This is our last show in Florida. I'll be back in Baltimore by next Thursday, and you'll join me by phone. Let's play roster math, because okay, it's getting very, very intriguing what may happen and or what could happen. Now, tell me if you disagree or agree, but I think these are obvious. I mean, Castillo and Joseph are the catchers. Then you have Davis, Scope, Hardy, and Machado, the starting infield. And I have Kim Jones, Seth Smith, if he's healthy, mm-hmm, and has been able to get on the field with a hamstring, and then Mark Trumbo. So that's 10 position players. Somebody's got to be the utility infielder. Flaherty's been injured. He's supposed to play tomorrow. He's got the sore shoulder. Paul Janish has looked outstanding down here, both at shortstop and at second base, and we know he can play third. And then you have the backup outfielders. Now, does Joey Rickard and Craig Gentry make the team? And if that's the case, how does Trey Mancini stick on the team, and where do they go from there?
I think that's completely right. Now, we have to keep in mind, again, that when they break camp, they're probably going to have an extra bench player and have 11 pitchers. In fact, Buck said, you know, we could probably even get away with 10 if we had to. I don't think they'll do that. So when we're every time somebody tells me so-and-so going to break, what are the chances like a Trey Mancini? I'm like, well, he has a shot at opening day if he could carry five bench players. When you eventually have to go to four, which I assume would be April 15th, we need the fifth starter, then you're going to have the four-man bench, and then I don't see how right now a guy like Mancini could stick. Because absolutely, I think it's got to be Rickard and Gentry making this team. Corner outfielders to platoon with Kim and Smith. So, of course, once you go to the four-man bench, that takes care of Mancini. I know people are like, what about Pedro Alvarez? Yeah. He's hitting so well, but they want him to be playing the outfield. And Trumbo is going to be your primary DH, so you don't really have the at-bats for Alvarez otherwise in a DH role. They want him to learn to play the outfield. Two Rule 5 picks, and they like them both, Santander and Tavares. Right now, there's a spot for either one. Again, under the scenarios, what we're laying out here, of course, Santander, the elbow, maybe he ends up going on the DL. That's a way you can keep him. Tavares, because he's a left-handed hitter, that really hurts them because you need the platoon guys. So the only way to me that Tavares could make it is if Smith did go on the DL to start the year. They keep saying we're not in that danger zone yet, but he hasn't played since March 8th.
Right.
And every time we ask Buck, it's like he's making slow progress. He's working out, but it doesn't feel real good the next day. That's why they're not clearing him to play. At some point, it becomes more of a problem. He's got 11 at-bats in Grapefruit League games,
right,
plus the Dominican game where he had the double. So at some point, the DL becomes a more likely possibility, maybe not right now, but if you get him on that, then of course you could go ahead and carry another outfielder.
All right, let me ask you this. I know they would prefer, because they said it at his press conference when he re-signed, that they want Mark Trumbo primarily to be the DH, as you just alluded to. But what about this scenario? Let's say when the Orioles face a left-handed starter, Trumbo plays right field. If in that scenario, that would allow Mancini to make the
right
team, and then he could DH against left-handed starters. But if that's the case, and again, we're basing this on when it's a regular roster, yeah, of 13 position players and 12 pitchers. If Mancini makes the team, then one of either Rickard or Gentry can't be on the team,
right,
because that would add up to 13 if you count the utility infielder.
Right, and you could go to, I mean, Rickard has options. He's no longer a Rule 5 guy, but he's having pretty much the same spring he had last spring. I mean, he's, you know,
looks
he hit like 397 or whatever.
Mancini looks good.
Mancini looks really good. And, you know, Gentry, I mean, he's instantly become a favorite of Bucks, which really helps your chances to,
yeah,
make the team. Plus defender, they really like him. It'd be hard for me to imagine him not making this club right now. You'd have to put him on the 40-man, of course. So, you know, I see that scenario, you're right, where you could have done that with Trumbo. But I think that was before they went ahead and got Gentry and he had the spring that he had. Is having, and the fact that Rickard has been so good, because they were wondering, well, is he going to be able to pick up where he left off and whatever. So, Mancini absolutely deserves to have a spot on this team, and it's, even if he ends up having to get set down later, he will be back up. He's done everything he's needed to do. Certainly not going to hurt him to try and learn to play another position. But, you know, hey, again, credit to the Orioles. They've got at least enough depth here in camp. Otherwise, it would have been, in the past, it would have been easy to say which Rule 5 guy, at least one of them. And absolutely, Mancini would have made it, and maybe Alvarez would have ended up being, you know, part, at least what his role from last season. You just don't have those spots now.
All right, let's hear from one of the candidates. Yesterday, before the night game, I sat down with Craig Gentry, who was a free agent in the offseason and chose the Orioles. Now, I mentioned to Craig, I wasn't aware of how many other opportunities he may have had to go to another team, but I asked him what it was about the fit with Baltimore that led him to signing with the O's.
Well, honestly, there really wasn't that many other opportunities. But I had a lot of history with guys from this organization, with different coaches, players on the team, and I was really hoping for a comfortable place to go, and this opportunity came, and I mean it was almost too good to be true. So obviously I jumped on it, and extremely grateful for this, for just being here.
Dan Duquette and Buck Showalter like to remind everyone, because obviously it filters down to players out there, that this is an organization that does offer opportunity. Was that in the back of your mind that, I'll go there on the minor league contract, but I may break camp with the team?
I mean, I just wanted an opportunity, period. And, the rest is what it is. And, the fact that they run the organization like that is awesome. And, So, like I said, I'm extremely grateful for just being here and for this opportunity. And, I don't know what's going to happen, but, I felt like this spring, I've had a pretty good spring. And, whatever way I can help the team is what I'm going to do.
The veterans like to tell a joke about, I don't wear gray pants, because they rarely go on road trips. And I think you've only missed four games, and one of those was a split squad game, so you can only be at one of those games. But I got to believe that being able to go on most of the road trips, if not all of the road trips, and getting into these games has given you a chance to show them what you can do.
Yeah, I mean, obviously when you're playing, you get to show them, what you got as a player. And I've definitely gotten that opportunity this spring. It's a little tougher being an older guy and having to play in pretty much every game, but just given this opportunity, you got to take advantage of it, and you got to go out there, and when you're playing, you got to go play. And like I said, I'm grateful for it. And with Jonesy at the World Baseball Classic, and it's given me an extra opportunity to play a little bit more and show what I can do.
It's had to be frustrating for you the last couple of years. You had several years ago the full season with Texas, 122 games, playing just about every day, and the injuries just have prevented you from being on the field. You're a very good player. You have a lot to offer, but you haven't been able to be out there.
Yeah, it's been tough. The last 2 years definitely been a struggle, but I think going through that, it gives you a different perspective, and I'm hopefully I can restart right here, and this is get back to where I was. That's the goal. I feel great physically, mentally, emotionally. I feel great, and just glad that I can be here and hopefully help the team and get back to where I used to be.
Most of the roster spots on this team were determined before camp because they're returning veterans, but there are two, as we look at it, backup outfield spots. And if you happen to bat right-handed, that may play in your favor, because Kim and Smith bat left-handed, and if there's a platoon, that would be the opposite side. You and Joey Rickard happen to be those players. Joey throws left-handed, but he bats right-handed like you. Do players look at roster math, if you will, to say, well, if they decide to go this way, I might be able to slip in?
Well, that's the first I heard about the two roster spots. You can't. I'm sure some guys do think about that stuff. I try not to, because maybe a few years ago I would. I'd get caught up in these kind of things and play, what you want to call general manager yourself. But it's tough. It can consume your mind, because you just don't know what everybody's thinking. And if you're thinking about all that kind of stuff, it's taken away from the field. and, you know, your job. So, you know, I try not to think about that and just try to go out and play, you know, as best I can. And then hopefully, you know, all that stuff will take care of itself because, you know, that's pretty much all you can do. But, it is tough to get that stuff off your mind.
I mean, they may go with one extra outfielder because Mark Trumbo can play out there. But the point is, you play all three, and you can go into center field. And even though Adam Jones rarely takes an inning off, let alone a game off, somebody's got to be there to play center field if he's not out there.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of been my MO for my whole career. And, you know, it's a valuable asset to have to be able to play all three. And, you know, I bring an element where I can do that, and I'm bringing, you know, a speed element to the game that, you know, that can definitely benefit a ball club. So, you know, whatever it is to help the team is, you know, that's hopefully I'm fit. You know, we'll see. But just grateful for the opportunity.
There's also something to be said about understanding how to be a role player. Not everybody can do that. But there are players that if they play every day, they're fine. But if they're not in there every day, the game slips a little bit. And as I've watched you down here for the past month, you seem to have that knack that whenever you're needed in a game, you're ready to go, and you just hit the ground and go.
It's a tough thing to do. You know, I learned it after the first couple of years, you know, how to kind of settle into that role because, you know, obviously my whole life I've played every day, and it's when you're not seeing big league pitching every day, it's tough to get in there and succeed. But, you know, it's just one of those things that, that you gotta come to terms with and, embrace and try not to be too hard on yourself. And that's the thing I battle is, you know, getting down on myself, you know, you know, if I don't succeed, because, you know, the next time I play might not be for another week. But so that's the tough thing for a guy, you know, a guy that doesn't play every day is trying to, you know, keep things in the right perspective, you know, because if you're playing every day, you have a bad game, who cares? You get them the next day. But, you know, that's a little bit different story. But, you know, I've come to learn how to deal with that kind of stuff over the years. Not saying it's still not a struggle, but I've kind of learned how to do that and get myself and my body ready, physically and mentally.
All right, announcers and beat writers can play roster math. I understand now, talking to you, players don't do that or maybe shouldn't do that. But are you happy with what you've been given down here to show what you can do? And are you happy with the performance that maybe you've shown them what you can do?
Absolutely. I'm extremely thankful for just being here, and the fact that I felt like I put together a pretty solid spring is just to me is a huge victory. And so whatever happens. But you know, I feel great about it. I feel healthy, and just super happy to be here. And anything else is just bonus.
Gentry, real nice guy, and Rock, as we listen, he has a tremendous understanding of the situation, and he's willing to do whatever, even if he has to go to AAA, which may happen, although you and I both agree that he certainly has earned his way on this team. But as far as the roster math goes, again, there's 1 week to go, and there's so many ways this team could go with the roster.
I respect his honesty when you were talking about other teams. Like, yeah. Why'd you choose the Orioles? There really weren't that many other teams interested. There weren't that many opportunities, which says a lot about how much his stock had fallen those last two seasons with the injuries. I mean, he had broken left and right hands at one point. Not at the same time,
right.
But he broke both of them.
And then
a
lumbar spine.
Lumbar, right. And, you know, he had concussion symptoms, so the last couple of years were just kind of lost for him. So teams really backed off. And then, you know, fortunately, Scott Coolbaugh, working out with him and recommending him, he played a huge role in the Orioles signing Gentry. And as soon as he showed up, you know, Buck's watching him, and he's like, wow, this guy was actually available in a minor league deal. So, yeah, when you sign that, you have to figure, okay, well, I may have to go to AAA. He's certainly prepared for it because he signed that deal. But I would be shocked right now if he doesn't break camp with the team because he offers what they're looking for with the plus defense and the speed. And, you know, they had the problems last year about who's going to back up for Adam after Rickard got hurt. And now they've got multiple guys that can do that. Certainly in camp, even Logan Schaefer, he was outstanding defensively.
Absolutely.
Didn't hit. But defensively, he could play a really good center field. Plus, you have Tavares now. There are a lot of guys that you could have thrown out there as an Adam Jones replacement if, heaven forbid, Adam gets hurt.
Rickard is batting .385. He's drawn 12 walks, and his on-base percentage is .538, which last I looked was leading the Grapefruit League. Gentry's at .300. He also has a couple of home runs and seven RBIs. And here's the other thing, what's really intriguing about these two players, but more so with Gentry because he's a veteran. Late in the game, and I realize Buck doesn't like to try to steal bases because he may give up and out on the bases, but late in the game as a pinch runner, Craig Gentry could be a big asset to this team.
He could be. Him or Rooker, but absolutely Gentry offers that other element. And, of course, Tavares has seven steals, but I still don't see how he could make the team. And he also has a little bit of a you-run-till-you're-out mentality with Tavares that they're trying to work on. It's like you have great speed, you have to kind of learn how to use it. Obviously, Gentry much more polished.
Yeah, in the game last night, Tavares took off too soon, and they got him at third base easily because he broke before the pitcher broke for the plate. Okay, we're going to take a break, and then and I feel bad that we keep excluding Tavares, but I just don't see a scenario because he bats left-handed.
Right. Now, you could try and work a trade.
Right.
If you get him through waivers before you offer him back to the Red Sox, you could try and work a trade out.
We'll take a break, come back. Now I want to play roster math with the pitching staff because somebody has to replace Chris Tillman, at least for April. And by my math, there are two spots open in the bullpen for Longmen, maybe Longmen. But there are some pitchers, in particular a couple of minor league pitchers like Stefan Crichton, who really has opened Buck's eyes. So we'll take a break and come back. More from Sarasota on Hot Stove Baseball, 105.7 The Fan.
The Fan.
Hot Stove Baseball, and it was hot in Sarasota today. We're going to get up to about 80, I think, right?
I think so. They were calling for rain. We haven't seen it yet.
It was drizzling as I was driving to the palatial Tim Jones estate.
Ah,
I had to put on my wiper once when I was stuck in traffic, shocker, on I-75 coming south. By the way, fans, you can visit Oriole Park on Saturday, March 25th, 2 days from now. It is Tag Day, and this is a fun event. From 10 a.m. until 2, seats that are still available as part of full or partial season plans will be tagged. So it gives you the chance, you can sample the views, you learn about all the exclusive orange carpet benefits, including access to opening day tickets. Plus, you can enter to win autographed memorabilia. So don't miss it. Tag Day, it comes up this Saturday, March 25th, from 10 a.m. until 2, right there at Oriole Park. And for all details to this free event, get online, Orioles.com/tag day. That's always a lot of fun because when you buy tickets, you generally don't know the sight lines.
Right.
So you could go there and say, hey, no, I like this seat. No, this is foul ball territory. I want to be over here. I mean,
and go check each one out. Yes.
It's a great idea. All right. We're having a little fun here, our final show in Sarasota on roster math. We did the position player, so let's move over to the pitching. And by the way, still to come on this show tonight, we're going to hear from Cedric Mullins, who has electrified camp. Every time he comes over from the minor league camp, Buck puts him in a game and he does something that you like. This kid's going to be a player, maybe in the not-too-distant future. Let's start with the rotation because we know Chris Tillman won't be there, at least for April. Once he's allowed to start baseball activities, it's like starting from scratch. Right. So he's got to build all the way up, go through a spring training. So he'll remain down here at extended spring training, and he'll be him and Scotty McGregor are going to get very comfortable down here in the month of April. So we have Kevin Gausman, Dylan Bundy, Ubaldo Jimenez, and Wade Miley. So that leaves one for the rotation, at least for the month of April until Tillman comes back. All right, here's what I came up with. It's either going to be Chris Lee, Jason Aquino, Tyler Wilson, Mike Wright, Gabriel Ynoa, Vidal Nuño, or Logan Verrett. Did I miss anybody?
Who's still left on the free agent market? Let's get a couple outsiders in here, too.
Well, if they may do that. We don't know. But I mean, right now, Chris Lee had a big start last night, and he threw 27 pitches in the first inning, 28 pitches in the second inning. And Buck, even though the overall pitch count wasn't where they felt it was in danger, Buck didn't like the 27 followed by 28. I thought he showed something in the second inning because he stranded the bases loaded and didn't allow another run. We were all assuming that last night's start, if he pitched well, he would be the favorite, and he still may be. But again, this is the depth issue coming in, and somebody's got to be that fifth starter on April 15th. But what are your impressions of this list? Because we know unless they do go out and make a trade or sign somebody, I doubt they'll make a trade for a month to get a player in for a month. So what about your impressions of these contenders for that spot?
And, you know, I've got to ask Dan Duquette again about, you know, the free agent market. You're getting to the point now with opening day being so close, it'd be pretty hard to get a guy and work him up to where he'd be able to make a contribution in, on April 15th. So I really think they still want to stay in-house for now. I think Nuno and Verrett are more likely to be the long relievers with the two spots. Verrett especially, the Orioles have just seemed to indicate they think he's better suited for the bullpen. And he's had some command issues, which he needs to correct. He did a much better job, and they all run together. I think that was yesterday, or maybe the day before.
Yeah, he did pitch. I'm going to grab my scorecard.
That he looked better, but he's had some issues with some of his command, you know, walking guys.
I lied. It was the day before.
Right. It was Tyler Wilson that had a really good game last night, the six up, six down. But Verrett, you know, that's something he needs to work on, and that's kind of what's been holding him back. So I think he's more of the long reliever, and and you have those two guys left and right, which leaves us with the other five. And I really still think it's wide open. I thought Lee was going to be a bit of a long shot anyway, with only eight appearances at Bowie last year, seven starts.
And none after May.
None after May. And yet he looked so good early on working out of the bullpen. It was intriguing. The two starts, he hasn't looked the same. Some command issues, too deep into counts. He gets two strikes on a guy. He hasn't been able to put him away. Yet you still see why they like him so much. He was 94-95 last night. He's got really good stuff. Had somebody in the organization say, I think he's got the best stuff of anybody on the staff, which is saying a lot. We have a guy like a Kevin Gausman, for example. But I just don't think he's really quite ready yet. I don't think he's just polished enough, and I just think that would be too much to throw him into the rotation at this point. I think he's better off if you could, even at Norfolk at this point, give him some starts and then see. At some point we'll see in the summer, I really think. So I don't know whether, you know, and Tyler Wilson had really been struggling. The six up, six down was very good for him, but he had a couple of back-to-back outings where he was struggling big time.
Yeah, he's given up just one run his last two appearances, so he's turning it
around. Right, but before that, I think it was
he gave up 11,
something like that, right. So I really think Mike Wright, if he has a really good outing his next time out, maybe he can go ahead and kind of take the lead in this right now, because he has a mini track record. We've seen small spurts how good he's like. Aquino, I don't even know if he's lined up right now to make another start. Like, I don't think he's listed among any upcoming starters, so it makes me wonder, well, then, is he really in the competition here or not?
And he's allowed one run on a solo home run in 11 innings.
Right.
So his ERA is 0.82, which jumps off the page.
Yeah, so I thought maybe we would see more of him because, you know, they're arranging where I believe Bundy and Gausman are both pitching at the minor league complex tomorrow because they want to give Enoa, they want to give Wright another start. So they're going to have these other guys go to the minor league complex. I think Wellington Castillo is catching both of them. This should be interesting. Opposite fields, different fields. He's going to go back and forth and catch them both. But, you know, Buck wants to give some of these candidates more starts in Grapefruit League games. And yet, I don't know when Aquino is even scheduled to pitch again.
All right, let me ask you this. You'll recall this because you're at Buck's pregame every game. He made a comment. He wasn't even asked about this, but he made a comment about he didn't want a potential starter to be used in the Orioles bullpen because if he was needed as a starter, he wouldn't be stretched out.
Right.
So that indicates to me that any of these candidates, and that could be Enoa, it could be Mike Wright, although I think with Tyler Wilson, I think they believe, even though they haven't said this, that he may be better in the bullpen because he could do like what he did last night.
Right.
Six up, six down, come on in, get the game back in order, turn it over to the late inning guys. But that might affect some of these guys like Chris Lee, like Jason Aquino, because if they believe down the road they may be starters and they want them stretched out, they have to start.
Right.
And it was interesting because it jumped out at me because no one asked Buck that and he just brought it up.
Yeah, but what was interesting is a couple of days ago he seemed to soften on that just a little bit. Just a little. It was like, well, ideally in a perfect world, but in a perfect world, Chris Tillman wouldn't be going on the DL. So
right.
He kind of softened
right.
a little, but I still think that's true. I think they'd rather have these starters, if they're projected as starters, to be starting a AAA if they don't make the rotation with the Orioles, as opposed to suddenly being longmen in the bullpen. And I think like a Nuno and a Verrett are guys they already look at as more long reliever types anyway. That's why I think that they'd be more apt. These other guys, whoever doesn't make it, they end up in Norfolk's rotation. Right again, if he has a really good outing, he's got that shot, I think, to kind of take control. I'm just a little curious again about with Aquino, because we keep hearing his name mentioned, and yet I would think, well, if that were the case, why wouldn't you run him out there, see if he can go five, whatever, and see what he does as a starter.
You know what's interesting about Aquino, the lefty, is that even though Nuno was gone at the WBC, Mexico lost in the first round, but Aquino's had a better spring than Nuno. Now, Nuno's a veteran, and again, you brought up track records. How much should they play into that? But Aquino's had the better spring.
Yes.
So again, it comes down to the question, what is he? Is he a starter, or is he the lefty long man that's going to back up what is right now four right-handed starters?
Right, and you could send Nuno down. And that's one thing, too, they've been stressing. They love the flexibility they have. It seems like every move they made, including a Richard Blyer who was sent out the other day, these guys all have options. So they can go ahead and move them back and forth. They had a lot of problems, especially last season, where they didn't have enough maneuverable parts like that. It was kind of like, all right, well, we could send Givens down. I think there was one other guy, I think when Wilson was in the bullpen. Otherwise, guys were out of options, and thank goodness Dan Swirly did as well as he did to save them a few times or having to maybe put a guy on waivers and to bring up somebody else. But, I think it is important for Nuno to have a good outing or two here, however he's used, before they break camp, because he left to go pitch for Team Mexico, which he didn't get a whole lot of action there, and then he comes back, and I think that he really does need. We've just made the assumption, well, as soon as they made the trade, well, that's because they want him to be the long man, the lefty long man out of the bullpen, but Aquino would give them that other option, and he has outpitched him. So if Buck is softening on that a little bit, then maybe a guy like Aquino is good enough that you're like, all right, we don't want to make him start at AAA. We'll put him in our bullpen.
And he also said yesterday, Buck, before the game, best 25
yes,
go north.
He stressed that.
He did. And again, he was asked about the roster, but he wasn't asked about it in that way, and he brought it up, best 25 go north. And by the way, I haven't forgotten about Oliver Drake. The only reason I didn't include him in this discussion is he's really a one-inning pitcher.
Right.
He is out of options. He hasn't had a good camp. We have no idea what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. They'll have to put him on waivers in order to outright him unless another team claims him.
Right.
And because of his track record in the minors and his good September in the majors last year, there may be a team out there that's rebuilding that might want to take a chance on him.
And he was the interesting, Buck says the two biggest foolers are spring training in September. You have to be careful with that. It's like, well, let's see. He had a really good September, Drake, and he's had a really bad spring training. So which one?
So do you throw that out?
Fuller? Yeah, which one are we throwing out here?
All right, we'll take a break and come back. We'll hear from Cedric Mullins, and we're going to talk about some of the minor league pitchers who have really stood out when called over from Twin Lakes Park. Jim and Rock were in Sarasota on 105.7 The Fan.
The Fan.
And as opening day gets closer and closer, the Orioles have 1 week remaining here in Sarasota. Single game tickets for the upcoming season are now on sale, so don't miss your chance to lock in the best seats to the top games of 2017, which includes divisional rivalries, those fun weekend series, and a host of promotional events, including the Orioles Maryland flag replica jersey. Rock and I did see that when we were still at Dempsey's, and that is a really cool
shirt. It really
is. There's a Manny Machado starting lineup figure. Zach Britton and Jonathan Scope both have bobblehead days this year, and there's a 25th anniversary of Oriole Park replica ballpark. So plan your summer now. Get your tickets, then you know you're in. Orioles.com or 888-848-BIRD. Now, one of the things that Buck Showalter has done an outstanding job in this camp is to work in minor leaguers so they get exposed to the major league way of how things are done. And one of the players, he actually stood out last year in what became his first full season. That's Cedric Mullins, who was the center fielder last year at Delmarva. He had 141 hits last year in 124 games. He had 61 extra base hits, and he had 30 stolen bases for the Shorebirds. 13th round pick out of Campbell University in 2015. Now, I sat down with Cedric yesterday before the game, and I asked him what it's meant to him to not only be called over from the minor league camp, but to have Buck Showalter continue to get him into games.
It means a lot. It does show interest, and it also gives me an opportunity to basically showcase what I can do on a baseball field. You know, regardless of it being in the minor league or the big league team, I'm still working towards a season, and I have to get out there and basically progress in what I'm doing.
The Orioles go out of their way to remind everybody that this is an organization of opportunity. I'm sure you've heard that. Buck talks about it all the time. Dan Duquette talks about it all the time. These are those opportunities for you.
They definitely are. And you take each one in stride. You have to relax yourself when you're out there because you get put in situations where, you know, not necessarily pressure-built situations, but they challenge you. So it definitely helps you go out there, relax, and try to play the game as best you can. But at the same time, it makes you think out on the field.
Now, last year was your first full season after being drafted in 2015. You played at Aberdeen that year, but Delmarva and an organizational all-star. as a mature player coming out of college, did you feel that that level was perfect for you to get that first full year?
I feel like it was. You know, as a baseball player, you always want to challenge yourself, and obviously being a professional, probably at that highest peak. And coming out of college, I learned how to, find an approach to each game. And being a long season, you know, I'm still learning like how to go into each game. You know, some days I'm not feeling as well as others, but you have to learn to make the adjustments.
One aspect of your game is your speed, and even though I know Buck Showalter doesn't utilize stealing bases very often, they don't like to give up outs, you had, 30 stolen bases last year, so obviously that's a big part of your individual game.
It's a huge part of my game. Like, being, whether it be defense, offense, the speed must be included in everything I do. I mean, hustling out on the field, out in and out on the field, making plays that, you know, a slower person might not be able to make, or the hustle double that I did last year. It's, you know, just what makes my game the way it is.
You've played defensively only center field. There happens to be an all-star on this team in center field, but I'm guessing at this point in your career, that's not something you worry about. You just got to keep getting better.
Yeah, that's basically it. I got to continue to progress, and I am starting to work the corners. Just in case, because, you know, I go out to the games and they do put me in left field, right field on the occasion, and I'm not necessarily used to it, but, you know, being playing center, I kind of have an idea of how the ball moves certain ways in those positions, so it's definitely been helpful.
Do you get any of those reps in the minor league camp playing the corners, or is it just when you're here?
In the minor league camp, no. But I do, during batting practice, I do go out there. I'll take my reps in center, and then I'll pick a corner for the other BP groups to basically get some reads, because you just never know when you'll be put out there.
All right, so that scouting report I read on you last night, that you're the center fielder of the future for the Orioles, was that a little premature?
Or not. It just depends on how everything falls into place. I mean, I feel like in the future I'll be ready to play any position.
Well, and again, because you played in college, and Campbell's a major conference that they play in, I think the maturity of that leads you to maybe move even quicker through the minor leagues than maybe a high school player.
Yeah, I could. All I can really say is that I have to continue to go out there and put up good numbers, you know, continue to progress. As far as a baseball player, you know, there's always something to work on, and they continuously tell me that. So it's always good feedback, you know, back and forth feedback between me and the coaches.
Where do you expect that you'll be sent to begin this season? Frederick?
I do hear a lot of word about Frederick. There is some noise about Bowie, AA. But regardless, I'm have to go out there and play the best I can during the year.
Well, the other part of that, and I think why this spring training in particular is so important for you and your development, is that once you're on their radar, you usually don't go off their radar, and you've definitely taken advantage of getting on their radar.
Yeah, and it's funny because, you know, I've seen a lot of reports. I've been told a lot of things, you know, being an under-the-radar kind of player, and you just have to push through that. So, I mean, I go out there and not necessarily worry about the politics of baseball. You just have to go out there and showcase what you have every day.
Now, here's a quote from Cedric Mullins. He says, he's a guy who catches your attention. And when the Major League manager says that about a guy who was in the South Atlantic League last year and had a very good season, there's no doubt about it, but that's somebody that you want noticing you. And I got to give these minor leaguers credit that they're brought over. I mean, last night they had 10 for the game against Tampa Bay, and several got into the game, including Mullins. But he's doing exactly what you have to do. He knows he's not going to make the Orioles, but he's going to come over here and say, hey, look, I'm a player, and you drafted me, and even though it was a 13th-round pick, players play, and he's showing he can play.
Yeah, and somebody tweeted me today, and I don't have any confirmation, that he had 2 home runs in some minor league game, and I don't know whether it was, you know, kind of an inter-squad type thing, or if they were playing somebody
there?
Else's.
you
know, in the B game that they set up specifically on that Camden Yards replica field so that Alvarez could play right field, and they had, you know, a way to get Trumbo and Hardy and Davis at-bats like every inning. He hit the batter's eye in center field. He had a home run, and Wayne Kirby just lifted his head up and said, whoa, like, who was that? And it was Cedric Mullins, who's listed at 5'8". And, Jim, you know, normally whenever you're listed at, you're usually a little shorter than that. So I don't know if he actually is a legit 5'8",
well,
but it doesn't matter.
I'm 5'8", and when I met him yesterday, he appeared to be a little shorter than me.
Right. So I'm thinking that was generous. but he generates power. You look at his numbers in Delmarva, not just the average. I mean, look at the doubles, triples, home runs. I mean, this guy had an outstanding season. He very easily could have been their minor league player of the year. And Buck looks at him and thinks, this could be a leadoff hitter in the future. And when he says there's some rumblings about Bowie, I'd heard the same thing. Normally you go Delmarva to Frederick, low A to high A. But I know there are people in the organization that say, the heck with that, he's a college kid.
Right.
Let's get him in double A. What are we waiting for? Let's push these guys if they're ready.
And Brian Graham, who runs the minor leagues for the Orioles, he likes to challenge players that they believe someday will help the Orioles.
Right, exactly. So let's take a look at him at Bowie. You can always move him back down. I mean, it's a bit of a jump. But they did that with Lorenzo. He went from Delmarva to Bowie and ended up on the 40-man roster.
Yeah, and he's also a switch hitter. So a switch hitter who stole 30 bases last year for Ryan Minor at Delmarva. And even though, as he indicated, I looked it up, he's played every game in the minor leagues, specifically in center field.
Right.
He has not gone to the corner. But you heard him in the interview say, oh, yeah, during BP, I see what's going on here.
Right. Exactly.
I'm in left field. I'm right field. I want to see the angles. I mean, I don't think he's going to get any game action in the minor leagues there. But, you know, the reports are that you read on sites that follow the Orioles minor leagues that this kid is definitely a future major leaguer and maybe the Orioles' potential future center fielder.
Right, and leadoff hitter, which would be nice to have the prototypical leadoff guy, but he would be one, he's got speed, can get on base, but also has some pop, as we've seen. He's a very intriguing guy, and you hate to keep going back to size, but that's also what catches your eye, because when you're looking at him, you're thinking, well, you know, how tall is this guy? And then you see the power he generates, just overall how he plays the game, and you realize, okay, the height doesn't matter at all.
All right, now four others that have jumped out to me, and I want to get your opinion on this, are all minor league pitchers and back end of bullpen minor league pitchers, although I'm not sure about Scott McGuff, where he could be a long man maybe. But Garrett Clevenger has pitched in four games, no runs allowed in 2 2/3. Stefan Crichton, who has back end of the bullpen stuff, he got the save last night. He has three saves in the big league camp, by the way. No runs allowed in five games over five innings. McGuff has not allowed a run in three games in 3 1/3 innings. And Jimmy Yacobonis, another back end of the bullpen arm in four games, 3 1/3 innings. Yacobonis started at Frederick last year, ended up at Bowie. These four guys really stand out.
Yeah, and Crichton and Yacobonis were two guys that they strongly considered putting on the 40-man to protect them. They were afraid they might lose them in the Rule 5. They ended up doing that with Joe Gunkel, who had a disappointing spring, has already been sent out. And they were fortunate that they ended up making the right decision because nobody took Crichton or Yacobonis. But that was a gamble, and they knew that and were kind of relieved when they found out that those guys hadn't been claimed. They like both of them. And Crichton especially. I'm watching him. He's 95, 96, I think maybe 97, and just comes in there pounding the strike zone. And just looks, aggressive and looks confident, looks very comfortable coming over. Like you said, three saves coming over from minor league camp. And that's a guy that if you had to pick maybe a sleeper, somebody that could make a contribution this season that you're not even thinking about, that wasn't in major league camp, that might be the guy. That might be a guy who I think you could see him at some point come up in the bullpen when they have to shuffle guys. If, they had to go through an extra inning game, whatever, they bring him up. He could be that guy. McGuff, I was surprised he was even still in the organization.
Yeah.
They got him, and I think quickly took him off the 40 because statistically it was a disaster. He had a horrible stretch of AAA, and all of a sudden, I was a guy that Buck said was pretty intriguing. Like, he looked really good, so maybe he did something, maybe adjustment, maybe it was a health thing, whatever. He looks completely different right now than he did when they first got him, and it didn't look like he could pitch at all.
Well, the other thing, again, and Buck is very good at planting seeds. I mean, you talk to him every day. And yesterday I asked him about his impressions about the minor leaguers that he's been putting in games. Yacobonis a couple of times has come in to get out of a jam, and then somebody else will come out of the bullpen. The only one he referred to by name was Crichton. He didn't mention the others, even though they're all pitching well. And that tells me, again, you want to be on Buck's radar. Crichton is already on Buck's radar.
He is, and he keeps bringing these guys over. Every time we get the list of guys on the travel roster that come over, and it's like, okay, he's back. Obviously, the guys that are really making a good impression. He brings Jeffrey Hernandez over once. We've seen him quite a bit as well. Brian Moran, who they got in the minor league phase of the Rule 5, lefty, kind of comes from the side.
BJ
Surhoff's nephew has been very impressive. And it's guys that you don't even give a thought about, but keep an eye over the course of the season, especially if you track the minors, and see whether maybe this is someone that could move up and maybe contribute.
All right, Manny is back. Wellington Castillo is back. We got to talk to them both yesterday. And by the way, thanks for that picture of Castillo.
I thought that was good.
My gray hair in there.
But he's looking at you, smiling.
Yeah, he was. He liked my question.
Yes.
I like that. Castillo's going to have a very interesting day tomorrow. He's going over to the minor league camp because Kevin Gausman and Dylan Bundy are both going to pitch at the minor league camp, one in a triple-A game, one in a double-A game. And the minor league complex is set up that there are four fields all right next to each other, and there's like this tower in the middle so the coaches and executives can watch whatever game they want to watch. Castillo's going to catch Gausman for an inning, then go to the other field, catch Bundy for an inning, maybe get an at-bat, then go back and catch Gausman again, then Bundy again for as long as they're in the game. I think that's ingenious. What a great way to help learn. You're going to learn two guys in the same day in different games.
Yeah, I've never heard that happen before. And, of course, the Orioles have a night game tomorrow right down in Fort Myers. So I wonder if Buck is going to be able to be there to watch that first and then make his way down to Fort Myers. Something tells me Buck's going to find a way to watch that. But, you know, I talked to a bunch of the pitchers about Castillo, and it's in today's blog if anybody checked that on.
Yes, I read that this morning. Thank
you. Yes, thank you. And they're all talking about how impressed they are with Castillo, even though he was only around for a relatively short amount of time before he left for the WBC. They already felt like that bonding process started, and seemed like everybody I went up to, I said, did he get a chance to catch you? And they're like, oh, yeah, a couple bullpens, my first outing, whatever. So Castillo really was making the rounds, more so than we realized. And I think it was Gausman that said, he caught me one day. Then next day I was in the weight room, and he sat down next to me, and we talked more about myself, what I like to throw when I'm in a certain situation, whatever I'm comfortable with. So Castillo really did a great job during this crash course, and what's a continuation of it when he got back. But I think the perception he may be way behind because he left, I don't think is the case, because he already was learning this staff beforehand, and they all have been saying how much they bonded, how great he was. He sets a nice low target, pitches in the dirt, even though he had 10 pass balls last year. They said he seemed like he was blocking everything. So he's made a really good early impression.
And another catcher who's made a very good early impression is Chance Sisko,
yes,
who is still in the major league camp, and he won the game last night. I've been told of his ability to go the opposite ways, a left-handed batter, left-center field, apparently pounds it for extra base hits. Opposite field home run that was not helped at all by the wind that hit off the foul pole.
Yes, and of course we're all grateful because you don't want extra.
It's all about you.
It's like, thank you. You know, no cheering in the press box. Forget it. We're cheering. First of all, you have the name Chance Sisko. You root for him. That's a great name for a major leaguer. You want him to get up there. But they know he can swing the bat, and he showed that, again, that opposite field power. But I think what's really been impressive is his skills behind the plate. I think he's a little bit ahead of what we all thought when he arrived. That was a big thing. Is he going to be able to catch? You know, we know he's going to hit. But, you know, I talked to scouts a couple years ago. It was like, man, like when he was at Bowie, he just didn't look good at all, and he's not going to be able to catch. He may have to change positions. He gets to camp, and Buck's watching him, and John Russell, and they're like, this kid's a little bit better than we were told about and has been working really hard. And they're lucky. Russell's one of the best catching instructors, and they got Donnie Warner as well to help out. But, yeah, he's been much better behind the plate than they thought, and all of a sudden it's like, well, you know, it might not be a full season AAA for him. Maybe over the summer he's beaten down the door. So Caleb Joseph, who has an option, if he's not really performing that well, if it's kind of a carryover of what happened last year, and Sisko is really, really doing well, I wonder if they would go ahead and just flip-flop on them.
And it's going to be interesting because we fully expect Sisko to be the number one catcher for Ron Johnson at AAA Norfolk. Who backs him up? Do they keep both Audrey Perez and Francisco Pena there, or does one of those catchers have to go down to Bowie just to be a backup there? Because it's clear that right now the Orioles consider them backup catchers. Even if they do come to the big leagues, they come in the backup role.
And at first I was thinking, well, you know, could be a guy like Sisko because of his age, just like they did with Mancini last year in April. He had to go back to Bowie even though he had nothing to prove there. I thought maybe they're going to have to do the same thing with Sisko, which they could. But I think at this point they want him catching in AAA, and I said something to Buck, can you carry three catchers there? And he said, yeah, that could happen. Because otherwise it's hard to imagine Pena or Perez
going to Bowie,
having to go to the AA level, even though, you know, Julio Borbón and some of the other veteran guys have done that.
And that might get in the way of a prospect coming up.
Exactly. Yeah. They really like Austin Wins, but Buck thinks he might even be better defensively than Jonah Heim, who was the best defensive catcher in the system before they traded him to the Rays for Steve Pierce. He may have to make room for him at least at Bowie. I think he's 26. So, I don't know, maybe if somebody steps up and is interested in a Pena or Perez in a trade, some of the a late injury in camp, maybe go ahead and make a deal. Otherwise, I guess you carry three catchers at Norfolk.
All right, a week from tomorrow, I'm going to let you go home.
Thank
okay.
you.
Okay.
It's been a while.
I go home Tuesday. I know you're a resident here since March 11th. Tim and I will be in the studio next week, but we're making you call in because you're half the show.
I will do that.
All right.
That's fine. Thank you.
Our final hot stove show from Sarasota. We'll be back in Baltimore next week, but not Rock. He's got to stay here for the final game, which is next Thursday.
They won't let me
on Masson, by the way. And the next radio game, we're going to do Saturday night, Sunday afternoon, Monday afternoon, three in a row, and then Tim's packing up the equipment, and we're heading home.
That's it.
All right. So for Rock Abaco and Tiny Tim Jones, Jim Hunter, thanks for listening, everybody. Hot Stove Baseball on 105.7 The Fan. Oh.